In all of these years, he's still the answer. And what a blessing that is in the assurance and the confidence that we can have. Neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. There's another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And one day every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And praise God for that. And praise the Lord, Tuesday night revival. Tuesday night, and already. So then we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And it'll go by quick, amen? And so we want to be diligent and dedicated to what God would have for us concerning revival. And having that revival is what God is going to use to make a difference in society today. And I believe, you know, thank God that, you know, the First Baptist Church is a revived church, amen, and believes in revival. Every Sunday, Revival Sunday, amen. Sunday night, Wednesday night, hear the preaching. And thank God we still have a church and a pastor that still preaches the old King James Bible when so many churches have gotten away from it. And I thank the Lord for that here. And, you know, I was away from the Lord for about 3-4 years and come back and the church was still going on. Amen? Folks still serving Jesus. And that's kind of what the prodigal son thought. And, you know, he really didn't think of his father and he really didn't think of anything else. He thought of those servants that are there. And, you know, they're better off than I am. And the servants were still there. The prodigal son was gone, but the servants were still there serving. And when he got back, they were still there serving. Amen? And that's what we ought to determine to be, that type of Christian, that type of servant. And praise the Lord for God's grace and goodness. Now I'm going to read some verses out of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, and chapter number 2. And I'll begin reading there in verse number 19. And of course, now Elijah, he's went on to heaven. And Elisha was the one that took up the mantle. And then God began to affirm his authority as the next prophet of God in Israel. And so we find here in this passage of Scripture some tremendous thoughts, truths that I believe will help us in this area of revival and allowing the Spirit of God. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? It's inexhaustible. Amen? And so many truths. I was preaching in a meeting one time and in some type of revival conference type thing. And the preacher before me got up. And he preached out of the text that I was going to preach out of. I mean, he preached out of the same text. And, you know, I thought, wow, that guy's preaching out of the same text I'm preaching out of. I wonder how the Lord's going to work all this out. And, of course, you know, he kind of went off in a different direction than what I was going to preach. And he talked about a totally different type of thing. Of course, it applied. I got up and I announced my text, the same text. I just felt like God wanted me to preach it. Amen. And I preached out of the same text, something that was, you know, just kind of completely different. But the two messages dovetailed. Amen. And that's the power of God. Amen. That's the Word of God. And so what a blessing that was. And here in this passage of Scripture, and we find that God is using the man of God, Elisha, in a great and supernatural way. Now I'm going to read here in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it unto him. And he went forth into the spring of waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not from thence be any more death or barren land. And if that's not a picture of revival, I don't know what is. Amen. And God miraculously manifesting himself through the man, Elisha, as he went down into that spring of water and took that salt and poured it in there. And the Bible says there in verse number 22, so the waters were healed. Amen. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and what? Heal. Heal their land. Amen. And that's what we're, that's the need of the hour. I mean, God, we need God to manifest himself in a miraculous way and bring about that supernatural healing that only God can do. Amen. We can have all the promotions and programs and announcements and all of that, but really only God can do that supernatural work that he wants to do and accomplish in your life. And these folks right here, they were grateful. They were thankful for this miracle that was manifested here in this place. And we pray and we ask God to do the same thing in this day and age, in this time, 2019. Who would ever thought we'd see 2019? But God wants to do a work. Amen. God wants to do a healing. And every single one of us are in need of a supernatural healing. There's broken hearts, broken lives, broken homes that need that hand of God, the touch of God upon our lives to bring about that gentle touch, that healing hand that only can come from Almighty God. I want you to notice here the Bible said he put salt. Who's with me? Say amen. Salt. Matthew chapter 5. The Bible tells us that we ought to be the salt of the earth. Amen. The salt of the earth. And when you think about salt, you think about the nature of salt and how that the salt was used way before refrigeration to preserve, amen, preserve food and meat and different things, and it was used as a preservative. And one thing we need to see in Christianity today is God tarries his coming, an old-fashioned revival that will bring about a preservation of a nation, amen, a preservation of a nation. No, listen, 20 years, God tarries his coming. Where's the church going to be? Where's the First Baptist Church going to be in 20 years? Where's Christianity going to be in 20 years? God tarries his coming. I was a teenager and used to hear men of God such as John R. Rice, Jack Hiles, and Lester Roloff, and these great men of God, Lee Robertson's pillars of fundamentalism. Gray hairs. Now, Brother Clear and I are gray hairs of fundamentalism. Amen. And but they'd preach, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus could come at any moment. And that was, you know, 40 years ago. Who's with me? That's a whole generation that God has tarried his coming. Those men are in heaven now. And oh, listen, I expect the Lord to come at any moment, according to the word of God. The next scheduled event is the coming of Jesus. Be also ready, and for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is coming again. What type of spiritual condition do you want to be found when Jesus Christ comes back? I want him to find me in a revived spirit. I don't want the Lord to come back and find me in an old, cold, dead, lethargic, apathetic type of condition. I want God to come back and find me on fire for him. Diligently about the Father's business, being faithful to the cause, being faithful to the call of God upon my heart. We are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its savor, has lost its power, its impact, its influence. There was a day when Christianity had an influence upon society, but that influence is slowly dying out. We need a miraculous miracle from Almighty God to take that salt once again and bring about a divine healing, amen, that'll get people's lives back where they need to be. A preservation. We find a preservation of a nation. That's what God will do with salty Christians. It'll preserve the old time religion. It'll preserve the old fashioned preaching of the word of God. It'll preserve the standards and the convictions of true holiness and righteousness that needs to be put forth in our Christian lives today. As the light shining bright, as the salt of the earth, having the impact, being used of God to manifest true Christianity upon a sin-soaked society that needs a divine healing from Almighty God. Amen. The preservation. God wants to use the First Baptist Church. God wants to use Christianity to preserve this nation that was founded upon the Bible. It's gotten away from the Word of God. And I believe because, you know, many Christians, many churches has lost its savor. Just like this water that had been poisoned. It needed something. It needed something miraculous, something supernatural. And God used the man of God to manifest the work that God wants to see done in the hearts of people and in our churches today. The only hope for the Christian nation, this nation to continue to be Christian, is God's people realizing the importance of their responsibility as being the salt of the earth. Amen. But we need revival because the salt has lost its savor. It's lost its taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. And oh, listen, we ought to be that type of Christian, that salty Christian. Amen. And you know, when you get salty, what do you want? You want water. Who's with me? And you thirst and you yearn. And your desire in your heart, the power of God. Notice here in this passage of Scripture, we see a desperate situation. The situation was desperate, amen. And desperate times call for desperate measures. God's people were just not desperate. You remember 9/11, 2000, when those individuals attacked our country and crashed into the Twin Towers in New York. I read several articles about how the churches were filling up after that time. Who's with me? And after a few months, though, it went back to the way that it used to be. Empty pews, empty churches, empty hearts, empty heads when it comes to the will of God and fulfilling God's call upon our lives. Mark it down, neighbor. We are in a desperate situation in America today. In our homes, in our lives, in our communities. Oh, listen, you hear everything, you know, about the economy is great and this is great. And just like these men were saying, you know, you see everything on the outside looks fine, but what's going on the inside? Amen. What's going on in the four walls of your home? What's going on the inside of your heart? I mean, you may dress the part, but what's going on the inside? Who's with me?
Oh, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Desperate situation, desperate times. They had this water that was poisoned. As a result, the ground had been barren. There was no fruit. There was no growth. There was no crop. There was no food. There was a famine in the land. And we see that today. Spiritually, who's with me? The Bible says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but the hearing of the word of the Lord. We see it in our own church right here. Who's with me? There's a famine in the land, famine of righteousness, famine of holiness, famine of godliness, famine of dedication and zeal and excitement and revival in our life. Where's that next crop of sowing? Where's that next crop? We've got a famine of workers. Who's with me? The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why in the world, in a church this size, that we have a lack of workers? There's a famine of workers in the ministry today. Who's with me? I remember I got my heart right with God, and Brother Johnson, he put me on a bus route, van route, going to Inver Grove and picking up a few kids. And eventually I was able to get that route large enough. He gave me a bus and bringing in kids, and I worked that bus route. I joined the choir. I sang in the choir. I worked with the young people. Dan Parton was the youth director at the time, and I went to the youth activities and helped with that. Listen, God started a fire in my heart. God did a work in my life, and I wanted to show my appreciation for him and what he did for me, and I went to work. Amen. Where's the workers today? What are you doing in this ministry? Where's the workers? Where's the laborers? There's a famine of workers in the First Baptist Church of Rosemont. There's a famine of worship. Amen. Not worshiping God like we ought to. There's a famine of individuals to get on this old-fashioned altar and cry out to God for revival in their heart. There's a famine. We're in a desperate situation. Everything looks fine on the outside, but what's going on the inside? What's going on? Where's the fruit? Is your ground so hard, so dry? The Bible says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. A famine of workers, a famine of worship, a famine of soul winners. Where's the soul winners, the First Baptist Church tonight? Where's the soul winners? Where's the people going out, spreading the good news, the gospel message, and going to houses and hedges, and to compel people to come in that the house of God might be full? Oh, everything looks fine on the outside, but neighbor, we're in a desperate situation. Yes, we see it and admit it in America, but we'll admit it right here in our own backyard, in our own ministry, in our own church. Oh, listen, this church ought to be on fire for God. Amen. No, yes, we're just more concerned about what's on the outside rather than what's going on the inside. Who's with me? And we played football here, you know, and Steve Sinclair, Jerry Dorman, Shelman Boyd, Bob Nelson, others. And, even Brian Larson. I think he was in the sixth grade. He was on the football team. Hey, we were desperate for players. Amen. We played football. Well, this one guy showed up, about the middle of the season. I mean, he had all the fancy equipment.
He had a Rydell helmet and the pads and the knife. And man, that guy strutted around. You'd have thought that guy, was the next Dick Butkus. The way he would talk and this and that. And then when he got in the game, you know, the first time someone hit him head on, he was out. Oh, he looked good on the outside, but on the inside, he didn't have it. Who's with me? And it's true in Christianity today. We're in a desperate situation. There's a famine in the First Baptist Church. A famine. The ground has become barren and there's no crop. There's no fruit, real fruit manifesting itself. We've got to recognize it. Be honest with it. Ask God to help us to be that salt that God wants us to be. But not just desperate situation. Thank God there was a divine sanitation. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, the water. The water had been poisoned. The water, bitter. The Bible says it was not. It was bitter. It's poison. And as a result, the ground, it just wasn't producing. It was dry, dead, dull, just like a bunch of Christians today, stale, non-productive. As a result, we don't see that group of young people surrendering themselves, young men surrendering themselves to preach, young ladies surrendering themselves to purity and holiness and modesty and godliness. Amen. But a divine sanitation, the water needed to be cleansed. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Your water has been tainted, and as a result, the ground has become barren, and no fruit is manifesting itself in your life. Say amen right there, even if it kills you. But that's where we are in Christianity. That's where we are. But oh, listen, the man of God came on the scene. The man of God knew exactly what the problem was. He understood way before it even was printed that we are the salt of the earth. The salt loses savor wherewith it shall be salted. It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men and being intimidated. He said, bring me a new cruse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we, as that new cruse, carrying the gospel message, the salt that God wants to see incorporated into society today and through these individuals and their obedience to what the man of God told them to do. God manifested his power and brought about a divine healing, a sanitation. Who's with me? That's what needs to take place. We just need an old-fashioned cleansing from the Holy Spirit of God and bathe in his word and allow the word of God to do its work in our life. It's the salt that will preserve old-time religion, the type of Christianity that our country was founded upon. Salt that purifies. Amen. It'll keep our hearts right with God. It'll purify. It will preserve. It's a preservative. That old-fashioned, stem-winding, salty preaching of the Word of God. Who's with me? It's that time of preaching that'll preserve a church. It's that time of preaching that'll preserve a community. It'll preserve a nation. God blesses old-time preaching. Preaching that will purify,
preaching that will preserve, preaching that will penetrate. Who's with me? Oh, listen. You know, you get that salt on an open wound, sometimes it stings. Are you with me? And that's how my mother in the old days used to, you know, you get a canker sore, she'd moisten a Q-tip and jam it in my mouth. Amen. And you don't want to eat potato chips if you had a cold sore. Who's with me? Why, that's salt. That's salt. I mean, listen, it gets in there. It penetrates. Sometimes it irritates. Are you with me? Preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. God's not talking about sugar water. He's talking about salt water. Sugar water is what you give to babies. Amen. Back in the old days, you know, before all these fancy drinks they have now, and a lot of times my mama put a little bit of sugar and water and stuff it in my sister's mouth just to keep her quiet. Amen. A little bit of sugar water. But that's what's happened today. We've watered down the preaching. We've watered down purity. We've watered down the precepts and the passages and the promises of Almighty God. And if we don't get back to that old time religion, back to that preaching of the Word of God, back to that pure type of Christianity, it won't be long before it'll be just cast out. It'll be good for nothing. It'll be trod under the foot of men. Are you with me? A preservation for a nation. You know how to preserve your young people? You get them under sound preaching. At the last revival I preached for Ed Johnson, he came up to me afterwards and he said, you know, Murphy, people don't preach like that anymore. People don't preach like that anymore. He said, but you keep preaching it. Amen. And, you know, there was a time when that type of preaching was in season. But today, it seems to be out of season. But it says, preach it in season, whether it's popular or not. Oh, listen, God told Ezekiel, I want you to say, thus saith the Lord. And whether they hear or whether they forbear, that doesn't matter. I want them to know that there's a prophet among them. I still have my witness. I still have my man that'll stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord. Amen. No, listen. We got that saltiness in our life. We're going to say amen. We're going to hit the altar. We're going to be used as that preservative. We're going to be used as that pure Christian. We're going to be used a divine sanitation. We are in need of that divine sanitation tonight, that cleansing. As David said in Psalms chapter 51, verse number 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Yes, it penetrates, it irritates, but the preaching of God's word initiates, amen, motivates, and pure Christian living is salt and purity and holiness and godliness and a divine sanitation. Not just a desperate situation, but a divine sanitation and then a durable solution. You want things that are durable. Amen? You don't want something that breaks the first time you use it. You want it durable. Like the 2006 Chevy Suburban that I drive that just recently went over 400,000 miles. You talk about durable. Amen. Chevy, GM, God made. Go ahead and drive your Ford, you sinner. But it was a durable. What does it say? The Bible says there that the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elijah, which he spake to this day. Aren't you glad you got a durable salvation? Aren't you glad that your salvation is eternal? It's constant. It's continual. It's perpetual. It's without end. It's without interruption. You can never lose it. Amen. And so is true with revival. If my people call by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. That's the type of Christianity you want. That's the type of revival we need. Not this up and down, on and off, in and out, convenient, if I feel like it type of Christianity. That's the salt that has lost its savor. God wants to use this church, we us Christians, to be that preservation for a nation. We need to determine to be that salt, get that back into our life. Lord, I pray you take the message. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to recognize the truth of it and the power of it. I pray, dear God, that you'll manifest yourself tonight. And what a tremendous truth in this passage of Scripture and how you took, Elijah took the new cruse and that represent the child of God, the vessel, to carry the salt, to put it in, incorporate it into this lost and dying world. A salt that'll penetrate. A salt that will initiate people to want to be thirsty for you, God. I pray, dear Lord, that we as God's people recognize the power of that salt. Not allow it, Lord, to be indifferent, bitter, stale, stagnant. Help us, dear God, to be that Christian, to have that revival, to allow you to do your work. Get us to the place, dear God, where we understand it, recognize it, see it, and have the faith to step out and initiate this power you've made available for each and every one of us. Oh, dear God, please do a work in our hearts. Today have we become so disheartened, Lord, that the preaching doesn't even penetrate. I pray, dear God, it'll do a work. We'll give you the glory for it. It's your name we pray.